week we have a double parsha, so it's a long Shnayim Mikra. We have a few long Shnayim Mikras in a row over here. We get, Baruch Hashem, it happens in the summertime when we're a little less busy and we're able to manage these long Shnayim Mikras. But in a certain sense, Parshas Balak for a while seems like a little bit of a reprieve or a little bit of a break from the general theme of Sefer Bamidbar, because it seems that when you read Sefer Bamidbar, all we're reading about is one terrible Avera that Klal Yisrael did after the next, the Meraglim and Korach and Memeriva. But then we get, we get to Parshas Balak, and we're not even involved. You know, there's a story that happens with somebody else outside of where the Jewish people are located. But then you get to the very last nine psukim of the parsha, and Vayashav Yisrael b'shitim Vayachal ha'am l'znosel b'nos moav, and that leads to Vayu ha'mesim b'magefa arba v'asim elef. We sinned with the b'nos moav, and there was a terrible magefa as a result of that sin. And again, we're right back to the failures. You know, for the so-called Dor Deya, for the generation that's supposed to be these holy, holy tzaddikim, and this great generation that received the Torah, they seem to have failed a lot. Meaning, it's like, you know, everyone makes mistakes, but they seem to make a lot of them. So how do we make sense of this? You know, the only break we have from failure is when the parsha spends the first 95 psukim talking about an event that didn't occur within the Jewish people. Meaning anytime, as soon as the camera focuses back on the Jewish people, there we are doing averus again. So what do we make of that? Of one sin after the other, one failure after the other. A second question, the Chumash, obviously we know, is not written as a chronicle of the history of the events that occurred to Klal Yisrael. The Chumash is a book of everything. It's not a book of history. It's a book of philosophy, a book of history, a book of spirituality, a book of law. It's a book of everything. It's a book of life. It's Chayim Milamachazingba. That's what Torah is. And it's therefore sometimes difficult to appreciate the historical context of the different events that are being described in the Chumash, because it's not meant to give you a sense of history. So sometimes you have to like take a step back and say, oh, wait a second, when did this happen? When did that happen? And Chazal do this sometimes, and Rishonim do this, to try to figure out, you know, how to put Kriyas Yamsuf and Yisro and Matan Torah, like what came when and what, you know, how exactly did this all play out? The Ramban points out something really fascinating, which is really just a simple chronological fact, but it might have been lost on us if we didn't know to look for it. And that is that the incident with Korach occurred right after the story of the Meraglim, right at the beginning of our travels in the Midbar. The Memeriva, which occurs in Parshas Chukas, the first of the two Parshios this week, happened 38 years later, when Klal Yisrael was on the verge of entering Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what exactly happened in the intervening 38 years? There's a missing 38 years where essentially there is nothing written about that period. I mean, we talk about Klal Yisrael being in the Midbar for 40 years, but every event that's described in the Midbar is in the first year or the last year, the first 2 years or the last year that we're in the Midbar. None of the events are about those 38 years that we're in the Midbar. What do we do? What happened over there? How come there's nothing about the bulk of the time that Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar? And a third question. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yevamos, Daf Kufchav Aleph, the Gemara tells us two very similar stories. One of which became, by the way, your Yevamos is in my car, so you must be learning it really well. I know, I'm joking. One of which became famous, and the other story did not become so famous. So the Gemara tells two stories. It goes as follows. First story is, the famous story is, Amram Gamliel, Pama Chasisi Mahalech Besvina, and Gamliel says, one time I was traveling on a boat, V'reisi Svina Achas Shanishbra, and I saw there was another boat that had capsized, V'yisi Mitztair Al Talmud Chacham Shabbat, and I was upset and I was nervous because I knew that there was a Talmud Chacham in that other boat, and the boat was gonna sink. Umanu Rabbi Akiva, and who was that Talmud Chacham? Was none other than the great Rabbi Akiva. Ukshalisi beyabasha, when I got to the dry land, above the Yashav Adon Lefanei Ba'alacha, I go to the base marriage, and who walks in? But Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva walks in, and he sits, and he starts talking to me and learning. Amarti lo b'ni, mi helcha min hayam. Before I answer your questions about whatever, Hilchos Birchas Hamazon or whatever, can you maybe tell me how you got here? Like, your boat was sinking. You were, how did you survive? Well, you must have gone through such an ordeal. So Amarli, so Rabbi Akiva said, well, daf shel svina nizdamili. The boat broke into a million pieces, and there was a plank from the boat that I was able to grab onto. V'kolgal, v'gal, sheba alai, nenesi liroshi. And every wave that came, every vicious, threatening wave that came, I just sort of ducked my head a little bit, and we made it through all the waves. And here I am, you know, I washed ashore, and now I'm back in the base of Medrash, ready to learn. So about my questions, right? I mean, that was it. That was the whole conversation. So Bikiva's boat capsized. He only managed to survive by grabbing onto a plank of the boat, and he used that plank as a flotation device, and that enabled him to survive the waves. That's the more famous of the two stories, because Rameir Shapiro made that story famous, right? Because Rameir Shapiro used it as a metaphor for the Daf Yomi, and then Rabbi Friend made it famous again at one of the Siyumei HaShas, where he quoted Rabbi Meir Shapiro using that as a metaphor for the Daf Yomi. When a person is trying to survive challenges, the waves of life, so to speak, so it's very helpful to hold on to that Daf. Daf Shel Svina, that you hold on to that Daf Gemara, that Daf Yomi, to that bit of learning that you do each and every day in order to survive the waves of life. And it's a very beautiful message. And the fact that the flotation device is called a Daf is just like spectacular. It's like such a great, marvelous. It's like an amazing, you know, choice of words that the Gemara has that allows for Meir Shapiro to use that as a metaphor. However, the story that follows is less famous and doesn't involve the daf. And the story that follows is very similar, but it goes as follows. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva now is the speaker. Pam achas yisi mahalich b'svina. Rabbi Akiva says, one time I was on a boat, v'risi svina achas shemetarefes b'yam. And I saw that there was another boat that was sinking. V'yisi mitztair al tamil chacham shabbat. And I was nervous because I knew of a Talmud Chacham that was in that boat. Umanu Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir was that Talmud Chacham in the boat. I would have given up sailing if I was Rabbi Akiva after the first incident. But Rabbi Akiva apparently went back on a boat and, you know, passed the safety inspections. But now he saw another boat and Rabbi Meir was on that boat. Kashalisi the Medina's Kaputkia, Bavi Yashav Adan Lefane Ba'alacha. And I got to Kaputkia, I started sitting and learning. And all of a sudden, in walks Rabbi Meir and he starts talking to me and learning. Amarti lo b'ni mi helcha. How did you make it? How did you survive? Amarli gal tardeni lechavero, vechavero lechavero, achi kani liyabasha. He said, oh, it was simple. One wave just pushed me in the direction, then another wave picked me up and pushed me further, another wave picked me up and pushed me further, and then it spit me out on the shore. So there I am, you know, here I am right now. So Rabbi Meir was also on a boat, unlike Rabbi Akiva's boat, which was Nishbara. Rabbi Akiva's boat broke into pieces, which gave him the opportunity to grab a daf shel svina. It created flotation devices, because there were all these planks of the boat. When the boat broke, the Rabbi Meir's boat was not Nishbara. There was no daf shel svina to grab onto. So Rabbi Akiva, who himself was the survivor of that first story, was stunned by Rabbi Meir's survival, because he knew how he made it, but how did you make it? You didn't have a daf shel svina. I saw the way your boat was sinking. It wasn't breaking to pieces. And Rabbi Meir basically said, I rode the waves. What exactly is the metaphor in that second story of riding the waves? If the waves are the challenges of life, the rocky times. So I get the metaphor of the first story. Grab onto that daf. You know, Rameir Shapiro, he got it right. Grab onto that daf. Grab onto the learning. What's the metaphor of the second story? Just ride the waves and we'll be okay. Like, what does that mean exactly? So if Simcha Zissel Broid has an approach, again, Chaz over the three questions. Question number one is, how do we make sense of all of the failures of Klal Yisrael throughout all the time in the Midbar? Question number two is, what happened to the missing 38 years? How come the Chumash never describes anything that happened in the 38 years in the middle of our travels to the Midbar? And question number three, what do we make of this Gemara in Yevamos about the Rameir riding the waves? So Simchas Yisrael Broid, the Chevron Rosh Shiva, has an approach that's built on Divrei Chazal, And it's absolutely stunning. He points out that there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei Mishnah Zayin, where the Mishnah tells us, Asara Nisyonos Nisu Avoseinu Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bamidbar. Shnei Revi Nusu Osi Ze Eser Pa'amim V'lo Shamu B'Koli. That Klal Yisrael pushed, tested, challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu 10 times in the Midbar. That there were 10 times that we did something pretty terrible, where we were sort of testing Hashem's love for us. And that's what the Mishnah says. Now the Gemara Maseches Arachin Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph lists the 10 ways that we tested Hashem. It lists all 10 of them. If you look at the list, 9 of them occurred in the first 18 months that we were in the Midbar, and the 10th one was Mei Meriva, occurred in the 40th year that we were in the Midbar. So apparently, for 38 years, we were perfect. Meaning all of these Averos happened at the extremes. For 38 years, not a single Avera. And that stunning record of success in those 38 years is almost as shocking as the record of failure in the short time that preceded it and followed it. How could the very same people who experienced such remarkable success also experience such remarkable failure? And Rav Simcha Zissel suggests that the first 18 months and the final year that Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar were transitional periods in our lives. We were getting used to a new reality, gearing up for a major life change, and a transitional period is a very dangerous time for a person's ruchnius. A person who's not in a calm frame of mind because he realizes that his existence is about to change abruptly is likely to make impetuous decisions that aren't really thought through clearly, and he's likely not to know how to react, and he can't just resort to whatever he knew from yesterday, his regular habits of how to live his life, because there are no habits. It's a new reality. And in the new reality, he may make all of the wrong choices. And he's feeling a pressure, and he's feeling nervous, and he's feeling anxious. And when a person is feeling that way, and they don't have that sense of serenity and that sense of calm, then they're very, very likely to make some terrible mistakes. So it's not a coincidence that all of our mistakes are bookended. You know, bookend our period in the Midbar. It's not a coincidence. That's the nature of things, that when you're going through an entirely different way of living life and existence, and you're going through that transitional period, we're much more vulnerable. Now, Rav Simcha Zissel focuses on the dangers of transitional periods, but I think it's also important to highlight that transitional periods are times of great potential for accomplishment also, meaning it's times of volatility. Volatility can lead to the market crashing or to the market really rising quickly. And the same is true with our own ruchnias. That's where growth very often happens in a much more rapid pace than it otherwise would. It's unduly negative to only highlight the dangers of such times without also highlighting the opportunities of such times. I mean, you think about what else happened in that first short while that we were in the Midbar. Kriyas Yam Suf. Kabbalah Satorah, right? The most important events in the history of Klal Yisrael, the most elevating events, events that still elevate us today, happened also in that period of time. So a person might argue that transitional periods are not only dangerous, they're exciting, they're brimming with opportunity. The dark years in the Midbar, you know, that we don't know anything about, where we don't hear a single thing about the experiences of Klal Yisrael, they were missing anything noteworthy. There was nothing bad, but there was also nothing good. It was just, it was life. It was day-to-day life. It was a regular Tuesday in February. I mean, it was just day in, day out. That's the way we lived our lives. So there's a tendency to get into a routine, and, you know, each day just mirrors the previous day. And when that happens, it's hard to have, like, a major aliyah. It's also hard to have a major yurida when you're just in your routine and you're going through things. But then you have these moments where everything is shaken up a little bit. And when everything is shaken up, you can go in one direction or the other. In fact, you get the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to engineer the Jewish calendar to set it up where we have lots of those times, where things are, you know, where we're taken out of our routine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manufactured transitions for us. If we were to only experience transitions at graduations and bar mitzvahs and weddings, we would have very few opportunities for such incredible growth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with Yontif, because those are often times for rebirth, for renewal, for rethinking things. Even in our interpersonal relationships, this is true. The Gemara Maseches Nida says, the Gemara asks, why did the Torah say that a woman has to be Tameh for 7 days out of the month? Right? Meanwhile, Kadosh Baruch Hu is up there in Shemayim and he's thinking, let's see, how can I make their lives more miserable? And he comes up with this, I got it, Nida. That will, But what was Kadosh Baruch Hu thinking when he came up with the idea of Nida L'Shiva? So the Gemara says that in a relationship, Mipnei Sheragilba, Ragilba means there's a sense of monotony, there's a sense of sameness, that's just the same thing over and over again, Vikatzba, so that creates a certain sense of boredom, and that sense of boredom does not allow for a relationship to grow. So Amra Torah, Te Tamei L'Shiva Yamin, so the Torah says, let her be Tamei for 7 days, Kidei Shetehei Chaviva Al Baila, Kishas Knisasa L'Chupa. So when a woman goes to the mikvah, the way Rav Shachter translates that Gemara, the couple can fall in love all over again. Right? That they could fall in love as if it were the day of her chuppah, as if it was the wedding day. The wedding day is a time of excitement. The wedding day is a time where you know that life is full of possibilities and that there's a tremendous aliyah in the relationship on that day. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to manufacture that for us in our relationships. Not only in our relationship with Him, in our relationships with our families. And with that idea, we can answer all the questions we began with. Right, the failures of the Jewish people that we read about are not a sign of religious incompetence. To the contrary, they indicate that for 38 years we never stepped out of line. Those failures are reminders of the volatility of certain times in our lives and just how important it is to be specially guarded at those times. Meaning for all of Jewish history now, we can look at times of our own transitions and say, we recognize the dangers of this time, and therefore we know that we need to be especially on guard. The missing 38 years aren't written about because there was nothing noteworthy to report. We went about our daily lives, and there's a certain heroism in doing that. That's wonderful, to go about our daily lives of Avodas Hashem. I mean, that's what life is. Life is those 38 years, but the typical day doesn't include usually significant experiences. As far as the two stories at the end of Maseches Yevamos, the waves represent those times where new things are happening, where things aren't just smooth sailing. Things aren't, the boat isn't just going along on its regular journey. Something has been shaken up. Sometimes those waves can work against us. And at times like that, it's important to hold on to something consistent, the Daf Shel Svina, to keep us grounded. But there are other times that the waves are taking us in the right direction. And we need to ride those waves instead of fighting those waves. We need to allow them to take us where they're trying to take us. When there's an elevation in Ruchnius, to not try to stay the same and fight the change. It's important to allow the waves to take us to our full potential. You know, sometimes people, when they go to yeshiva, they're very on guard because they grew up with a phrase in their mind. The phrase that they've heard thousands of times is flipping out. And that is the worst. You're not allowed to do that. Right? Whatever you do, you have to be kind of the same when you come back as when you went. And that is that like a Jewish hashkafa? Meaning when a person is at a stage in life where things are changing, I mean, why is it that at your stage in life you find that your friends, let's say now, your friends right now, if you took a look at your group of friends, let's say even in this room, and took a look 2 years ago at where that same group of friends was as far as their tefillah, as far as their Talmud Torah, as far as, it's entirely different. And you have probably, but if you were to ask your parents to take a look at their group of friends and ask them to look back 2 years and see where their group of friends were in terms of their tefillah and their Talmud Torah 2 years ago versus today, maybe some minor changes in one direction or the other, but it's not like you, right? It's not like what's happening at your stage in life, because you're going through a transitional stage in life. When you're leaving high school, you're entering adulthood, you're going from yeshiva to college to all these, you're going through these massive waves of life. And it's true, there's great risk, and I'm sure you see that among your friend group also, that there's great risk of a major yerida during such times, and often people don't know when to just ride the waves of what they're experiencing and when to grab on to the daf shel Sfina. So sometimes you'll have a person who will ride the waves when he's in yeshiva and they're flying high because those waves are bringing him in the right direction, and then they ride the waves when they go back to whatever secular college or whatever else, and then they go to the lowest of the low in terms of their ruchnius, because they're wave riders, right? They don't know that there's a difference between daf shel Sfina and that and when to ride the waves. You know, Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Saul Reisman, Shlita, Rashiv Tarvadas, often points out that when he's asked the question, he'll get a shidduch call and they'll say, is this boy going to be someone who learns night seder, you know, when he's married and he's working? And he said, he's in yeshiva now, so he learns night seder now, but like, how do I know if he's going to learn night seder when he's married? Like, there are some people that excel in yeshiva because they're good boys. They do exactly what's expected of them. So and they're driven. So they want to be the best in yeshiva. And then they go to a big law firm and they want to be the best in the big law firm. So they're going to work like crazy, and then davening will fall away and learning will fall away and everything, because they want to. That's just their personality, to be the best, is to ride the waves in whichever way the waves are taking them. So can you predict necessarily if a guy's going to learn? Rabbi Reisman always says, he tells, if it's a father of a girl calling, asking if the guy's going to learn night seder, he says, probably depends who he marries, right? That's the truth, right? It's a question of what his wife is going to be happy with, what his wife is going to want from him, because he's always going to aim to try to make his wife happy and to try to earn her respect. But it's important, as you go through these transitional periods of our lives, we look at Parshas Balak and we see such an important yesod about how to handle it, that when we're being challenged and there's a push back against the Ruchnias, we grab onto that Daf Shel Sfina. But when we're being pushed in a certain direction, you got to ride those waves. You have to allow that. You have to allow yourself to be taken away by the waves of Ruchnius at certain times, because it's a unique opportunity for great Aliyah.